Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable. It is Monday, the 19th of December, and very nice to have you with us. I hope you had a lovely weekend, if not a little chilly. I hope you had a very nice weekend. And as we prepare for the holidays of all sorts and sizes, let me introduce our panel to you, and then we'll get to how you can be a part of our panel as well. WAMC's Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I got to start looking before.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, yes, good morning, Joe. Ho, ho, ho.
What's that red hat you have on,
Santa? Ho, ho, ho hat. Right.
Libby Post is with us. She is a political consultant, and so apparently she's got a lot of work to do.
Don't we all?
Yes. And, lo and behold, look at what the cat dragged in. We are more than a little excited that our good friend, we have two things to say. One, welcome back, Rosemary Armeo, who has been gone for a week and a half or so. So welcome back to you, and we also want to thank Teresa Bourgeois, yeah, who filled in for you while you were, yes, gone. And
I read all the letters. She did great. I understand you're all calling for my ouster, and I want to warn
nobody called for your ouster.
Well, they said, we like Rosemary, but, and I agree.
No,
I think Teresa's actually great. But listen, what I want to say is to all those people who wrote, and I read all the letters while I was gone, calling for us to be hopeful and to give a chance and to be patient, you might as well turn off your TV right now. I've been to Europe and New York City. I see no reason whatsoever to be hopeful.
Oh, well, what a wonderful way to start the morning.
Dick Cheney is now back in government. It's just doom. All doom and gloom. And I'm forecasting that now, so just expect it.
I must have missed the Cheney thing. I always call him Cheney. I must have missed the Cheney thing.
Yeah, it's in the news today that he has become like one of those advisors, unofficial advisors to president.
Right. He wants Tillerson. He thinks Tillerson's a good guy.
Great guy.
Yes, he is.
Pootie, I didn't know you were here.
Riot.
Oh my God, Saturday Night Live has gotten funnier and funnier the more dire our situation.
So in the reading of the article, that he is emerging as a top surrogate, but also that he has sort of sent out dispatch to do specific roles, and the role that he currently is working on is to work on people like Marco Rubio to support Tillerson and the like, right? Is that sort of how he's
Tillerson
being used?
Tillerson appears to be the nominee who could face the most danger of Republicans turning
that
on
says
him.
A lot, doesn't it?
It does. Rick Perry, for example, doesn't cause stomach aches.
Well, he needs Tillerson needs 60 votes.
Yeah,
the other ones
exactly.
don't. That's the issue.
That's exactly.
So, the Democrats are going to help. And if Chuck Schumer, I am hopeful that he won't let any of his folks vote for Tillerson and hold up the nomination.
By the way, Libby, I don't think, knowing the United States Senate the way I've studied it, that he gets to not let them. In other words, I think senators vote the way they want to vote and way that they're politically most feasible. So, I don't agree with that.
What does that mean? What do you think?
That he will get the votes? He'll get the 60?
Oh, I don't know.
He'll get the
three? I don't know. I really don't know.
Here's the thing. If he doesn't get it, it's not like someone good is going to be nominated instead.
Well, it's true.
Exactly.
But nonetheless, you know.
Exactly.
It would be nice to hand Trump a defeat early on.
And Libby's here, too.
Well,
I missed number two on the hit parade. Because I said, nice red hat, Santa.
Oh, I see.
Oh, instant replay.
I must remind folks how they can be a part of the program as well. It's simply by going and writing to panel@wamc.org, panel@wamc.org. So we sit at 318 Central Avenue, and about a mile and a half down the road at the State Capitol building, the electors of New York State will mirror electors across this country from the Electoral College who will file into their respective state capitals and do the work that they have to do as Electoral College voters. Bill Clinton will be one of the electors.
I wonder who he'll vote for.
Mm. Yes.
Aren't we lucky?
George. All right, George. Mario.
Andrew.
Thank you. Andrew Cuomo. I already come up with George.
Andrew Cuomo.
George Cuomo.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the brother they never talk about.
They never talk about him. Anyway, so the question, we talk about the Electoral College meeting. A lot has been said of over the weekend of talking about trying to change electors' minds and to have them question as to who they're going to vote. In watching the Sunday news shows, there was great dissection of all of this, of what could happen, what was allowed to happen, what was legal to happen, and yet it all at the end just sort of seems to be one big fairy tale. Yes?
And may I just check in with one thing before I give way, and that is that I read not a few seconds ago that Michael Moore has now said that he will personally pay whatever fines, whatever fines electors are given for not obeying the state law that says they have to go with the candidate that they were elected with.
Boy, don't get me wrong. I would love to see one more surprise in this crazy election and have it be that. But I think the chances are so small that I'm not even allowing myself to entertain the idea.
Well, I mean, a lot has to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A lot has to happen, and we have no indication that any of that is going
37
to happen.
37 people.
And not
have
only
to
that,
change their
if
minds.
This happens, it ends up going to the House of Representatives.
Right.
And
which
what are
is,
they
going to
do?
What does that get us?
Elect Hillary?
Not necessarily.
That's
not
what we read this morning.
Well, no, it goes to that. I taught it for 132 years. It goes to the House of Representatives if they can't make up their mind. But if they make up their mind, for example, and they voted for Hillary Clinton, or they voted for X, anybody else, mm-hmm. a third person, they could do that.
Right. Yes, if they come out of it when, say, Paul Ryan or Hillary Clinton or whoever.
John Kasich is
they
who
could, John
pushing.
Kasich, right.
I have found this whole discussion to be, like, so worthless. It's like the Never Trump movement. It never went anywhere, and we wasted all that time on it. Instead, we should be talking about what we know is coming, and it's bad, and that's he is not divesting from his businesses. He is implicating his family into political activity and the other way around, and that's what's happening. We finally know what era he was referring to when he said make America great again. We're back in the Eisenhower years when the Dulles brothers ran domestic and foreign policy, and the idea was that what's good for business is good for America. I know that's Calvin Coolidge's saying, but that they actually operationalized it, and that is what we are seeing now.
I actually think it's far worse than that. I mean, that's bad, all right, but I think it's worse than that. What I'm really afraid of is the encroachment, the oncoming of fascism in
right.
this country.
Right.
Yep.
What I'm really worried about is that this is a man who said, right? Didn't he say that the whole election was going to be rigged, right? Then he said, when asked, would he support Hillary if she won? And he said, I'll have to see.
Right.
Okay, that's when he wasn't president.
Right.
Now he's president. He's got how many? Four generals and another military guy, you know, in place. He comes to 2020, and he's not going to win. He sees it clearly in the polls. He said, this election's going to be rigged, therefore you can't have an election.
I don't think he can do that. I'm sorry. I don't think he can do that. It would mean a constitutional
crisis.
Amendment.
No,
and
I mean
a crisis.
Constitutional crisis.
Right. So I don't think he can do it.
You know the way it's done in other countries, Libby.
Yeah, I get that. But other countries don't have our
right.
Constitution.
And other
so
bills.
He says. Right. So he says you can't have it until it's the right time, and he calls out the generals in the cabinet.
Yeah, they can call out the generals in the cabinet, but, you know, I do believe, I know it's going to be dire. There's no two ways about it. But I do believe that the press is going to find its voice, and we're going to need to support the media.
Well, what makes you think the press is
out?
You're on the left. The people on the right are so, I have never seen such. It isn't just distrust, it's discounting of the press on the right. And that's 40% of the population
at least.
And what
makes you think that the press isn't there? You know, the press, I've been reading a great deal in the Washington Post and the New York Times. I think they're real gutsy.
Yeah.
The Daily News, I mean, yeah. It's just been incredible.
Yeah, it has been. But they have to keep it up. They have
well,
to
yeah,
keep it up.
Well, you said finally finds its voice, but I think they have a voice.
Well,
I don't think it matters very much. I'm with Rosemary on that.
We need to continue they really need to continue and not be afraid, because he, you know, he
can do a lot of damage to the press. We're seeing it in Poland right now, where a Trump-like rightist government has said no, we're shutting down the press. You can't write. You can't insult the government.
Right.
Which sounds a lot like, oh, let's toughen up the libel law so you can't you can't hurt people. We definitely have to be vigilant, and not just those of us in the professional media, those of us who need the media and don't even realize it. That's what scares me. There's such hatred against the media. And really, there's very little else between us and a bad government.
Yeah, fascism.
You know, I agree with Alan, of course, about New York Times and Washington Post and some of those outlets. But it's hard. I mean, I think people around this table would agree with me that it's hard to watch CNN, MSNBC, or Fox and not hate aspects of what you see on that.
Absolutely.
And say that this is very bad for the press.
Absolutely.
Well, we had one letter writer who checked in, Sue, who says, fascism, oh, please.
Yeah, see, there's that. Yeah. I hope you're right, Sue, but...
There are a lot more important things to be concerned about. Loss of scientists in the government, loss of Social Security, privatization.
True.
But that's the beginning of it all.
Exactly. Loss of labor, loss of labor loss, and on and on. Well, Sue, I agree with you. Those are things going to happen, but they're going to, it isn't, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah,
you're going to have
you
both.
Know.
Fascism will allow that to occur. I mean, I was in Latvia. I was in Riga, and people there are ready for Putin to start moving in on the Baltics. I was in Bosnia, and people there are saying, wow, this sounds just like Yugoslavia when it was breaking apart and Milosevic was taking over. And then I was in New York City, where Wall Street executives are preparing to deal with massive new wealth. What?
Yeah, right.
We're going to take a brief break. We will be right back and get to some letters and discuss more right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the panel for this Monday morning, the 19th of December. Very nice to have you with us. We have just a couple of letters. We'll get to those, and then we'll round up our conversation before we go to a news break at the bottom of the hour in just a moment or two. Alan, go ahead with the letters.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
There's a letter here that says, hi, panel. Rosemary is on point as usual. The faithless electors discussion is a red herring. And we need, Putin is a red herring, and we need to be focusing on Trump's conflict of interest. Keep up the good work. Well, it isn't one or the other. I keep saying that. And by the way, I don't think there's anybody on this panel who has thought that, who and hasn't said it, that the electoral thing is a red herring. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, we've dissed it from the beginning. Yeah. So, like I said, I would love to be wrong on this. Yeah. You know, to come back. When do they read the votes? January 6th is when they. So January 7th to have
it's a
show
a
saying,
very
"Wow,
complicated
we were wrong."
Process.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
and I never paid attention to it before. Now, even in 2000, I don't remember paying attention to the electoral college counting.
No, because it was
counting.
Just going to happen.
I've been teaching it for many, many years, and now maybe somebody will get it.
Yeah, my son who teaches 8th grade civics said this election, if nothing else, has made kids interested enough that he's been able to teach this stuff, like electoral college.
Well, that's good.
Okay. All right. So, Libby, be careful what you wish for. Giuliani or Newt would probably be Trump's next choice for Secretary of State. If Tillerson is rejected, at least Tillerson did the right thing where the Boy Scouts were concerned. Take it, Libby.
Well, it would be nice if he did the right thing as where ExxonMobil is concerned, because for years there's been a growing call by the shareholders to have non-discrimination policies against LGBT people in that corporate structure. And for years they've been turning that down and pushing against it. So, you know, lovely about the Boy Scouts, but what about the employees?
One more reason he and Pootie get along.
Yeah,
don't
right.
like gay people.
Right.
Don't go to
they
Russia
don't.
Anytime soon,
oh,
Libby.
You
worry.
Know, it's so interesting, Rosemary, that you said Pootie, because it really does come right out of Saturday Night
yep.
Live.
I loved it. Brilliant.
However, there is an argument to be made, is there not, that by making him into Pootie and making this into humor, we basically, we normalize the terrible relationship. I mean, after this guy, after all, this is a guy, Rosemary, you know better than anybody, who puts his political enemies in jail or kills them.
And there was somebody who was just found with a bullet in his head.
Pussy Riot, the band, spent 2 years in jail because they sang a song that he didn't like.
And, we're calling him Pooty.
So, the group that I work with in Bosnia, the journalism group, every year gives out a Person of the Year award. It's to the person who's contributed the most to organized crime and corruption. The person most nominated for the award this year is Donald Trump. And it's fascinating to listen to the judges debate who it should be. This is an award Putin has won in the past. It's like, well, no, you know, he's bad, but we got to save him because next year may be even worse. And he's running up against people like Maduro and Duterte in the Philippines. Our president is up against that competition and faring well.
Well, you know, I'm fascinated by the whole immigration thing also. Here's this guy who wins on the back of, you know, quote, illegal or undocumented immigrants. How long can it be before, I know that some of this has been done, I'm sorry, but how long can it be before they start cataloging how many so-called undocumented people work on the Trump properties? You took every undocumented worker out of New York City right now. The city would fall on its face.
That's right.
It's the whole infrastructure, you know, of the city, including his hotels.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll go to other topics and get some more of your letters. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC. No, it's panel. I'm sorry. Panel.
Panel.
Panel. P-A-N-E-L. Panel at WAMC.
Right.
Yes. P-A-N-E-L. Panel at WAMC.org. And that's where you can write us. And people are doing so. And we'll read some of those letters in just a moment. We'll be back. Alan and Rosemary and Libby and Joe are all here. We'll be back right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Before the break, we got a letter or two, and we were talking a little bit about fascism. And I thought we would start with a definition of what fascism is, and then Libby will give a little bit more detailed of a definition of the signs, and then we'll just sort of use that as our baseline as we move forward.
Joe, because we heard from James who wanted that definition.
It is a noun. An authoritarian and nationalistic right-wing system of government and social organization. In general use, extreme right-wing, authoritarian, or intolerant views or practice.
And the 14 defining points of fascism are...
Whoa.
14?
14.
Oh, no. Whoa. This is the rest
powerful,
of the show.
Now, powerful and continuing nationalism. 2, disdain for human rights. 3, identification of enemies, scapegoats to unify your cause. 4, supremacy of the military. 5, rampant sexism. 6, controlled mass media. 7, obsession with national security. 8, religion and government are intertwined. 9, corporate power is protected. 10, labor power is suppressed. 11, disdain for intellectuals and the arts. 12, obsession with crime and punishment. 13, rampant cronyism and corruption. And 14, fraudulent elections. So wake up and smell the fascism.
Don't we have them? How many of those? I was trying to keep
we
track.
We already have 14. A few. We already have a few.
Oh, I think the potential for all of them is
great.
You know, is there? Yeah.
And we have to resist.
I'm going to ask like a WebMD question, but do you have to have all the symptoms
to have fascism?
Right, or is it just?
I think once a few of these come in, the rest of them just, you know, just,
they follow they naturally.
Yes, yeah, and it starts to go down the.
All right, do you think we're going to have Medicare? I'm getting concerned about these ones on Social Security and Medicare. Is that toast?
Well, you know what they're going to do? They're going to say, Alan, you're 75 years old, you could keep your Medicare. If you're within 2 years, you could keep your Medicare. Everybody else is out of luck.
And apparently they will say this in Yiddish.
Yes, or like a little Jewish old man. So, oh, it's the Jews to blame for getting rid of the Medicare and the Social Security. See, they control the banks.
And by the way, the Social Security will be much, they're going to change how you qualify, how long you have to stay alive and all that kind of stuff. But Social Security is going to be interesting in that they're going to deal with that also, and they're going to make sure that their friends on the street get the business. That's my bet, and we will see that. Meantime, it's interesting because the stock market keeps going up and up and up.
It was down this morning.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
And
one
of the, it's over 19,000. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's very close to 20,000.
Yeah.
And at the point at which, you know, it goes down, it's going to go down fast.
Crash.
I do want to, well, let's get to some letters, and then I want to talk about the president's news conference on Friday, which was really quite
emotional.
Well, there was a lot there. It was very long. It was his longest. Yes, meaty. That's very newsy. A lot came out of it. So we'll unpack some of that, and we'll go to the letters that Alan has before him.
Okay. When people tell me to get over it, I think of two things: reverse the situation and think how, quote, they would have behaved. And I also think of the obstructionism of the GOP for 8 years and how they despised Obama. Thanks, and happy holidays to all of you.
Our holidays. World's coming to an end. Have a beautiful Christmas. Right.
Renee says, do you think the people, especially the working class, who voted for Trump will see that the policies being proposed are in direct opposition to their interests? Getting rid of clean air, reducing Social Security benefits, diluting Medicaid through states' rights options, not raising the minimum wage or having overtime pay, repealing Obamacare with no replacement yet. Help, Renee.
Boy, that's a really interesting question, and I'm afraid the answer is no. I think the people are going to be hurt the most, because it isn't really us. I mean, tax cuts, I'm up there. It'll be fine for me. I'm not going to be hurt. Working class people are, and will they know it? And you look at what happened with Carrier. That was such an awful, awful decision. Better to have paid those workers for the next 10 years their full salary than to get the deal he had. And yet Trump made it look like such a hot... I can't say that.
Propaganda 101.
It is propaganda. And I think they are going to buy it up. And all those people are still coming to his rallies. And no, I'm not seeing any disappointment by the...
It is early.
But I'm not seeing any even doubt.
Well, it's early.
Have you been watching, what is his name, Van Jones, the guy on CNN? Fascinating.
You watched that? I thought you didn't watch CNN.
I've gone back to it now because Corey isn't there. He's now out in the open as the political operative he always was. But Van Jones has been going out to places like Trumbull County, Ohio, and talking to people who voted for Trump and why they did it and how they feel about it now. And it is really, really depressing.
If I may do a quick forward promotion, but before the election, there was a Berkeley sociologist by the name of Arlie Russell Hochschild, and she wrote a book called Strangers in Their Own Land. And we had her on before the election. She spent 5 years in Louisiana trying to understand the far right. But the last 2 years, she's basically spent time going to Trump rallies with people and trying to find this common ground. So we decided to have her come back because she saw a lot of this coming of what happened on Election Day. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk to her in 11 o'clock hour.
So basically, she's looking at how the extreme right took up the plight of the working class and kind of put that onto the...
And she's doing it more less from a party perspective, obviously, and much more from a personal perspective of what drew those individuals to that view. Mm-hmm. And it's a very interesting.
Yeah. So I mean, we on the liberal extreme here have been accused over and over again of not listening, of thinking we're above it all. And I believe what we actually did was never understand that the frustration was so great that they would vote against their own self-interest.
Well, but that's
that it seems so obvious.
And you've said that many, many, many times, Alan, that this is exactly how people like Trump get elected, is that they vote against their own self-interest. Right.
And then yet there's another way to look at this, which is, yes, those people in the paradigm that you're talking about, Rosemary, are getting screwed. They're getting screwed by the Republicans. They're getting screwed by the Democrats. They are, and they have been. Now, some are better than others, but the fact of the matter is a lot of people have been left out. And what happens is these elections are won or lost by people saying, okay, I tried the other one. Or as Lee Hayes once opined with the Weavers, remember them?
Yes.
You know, democracy offers us a choice of which razor blade to cut our throat with.
All right, I'd like Alan to read some letters. Meanwhile, we're being...
What?
Somewhat besieged by people who would like you to cite a source.
Sure.
For the fascism. The 14 fascism points.
Yes,
on the first
from
day.
New Bohemia Media.
New Bohemia Media?
Yep.
Is that reliable?
Well, you know, it's people's perspective on defining points of fascism. I read these.
I read these, and you can
see Nazi Germany in these 14 points. You can see fascism in these 14 points. So that's, did I say it was an academic exercise? Did I say it came
New
from
Bohemian.
A PhD? I don't care. I don't care. It's true. Everybody agreed. And it's true.
Well,
everybody agreed. You're sounding like Trump now.
No, well, no, but Rosemary, Libby has a point. We all nodded our head as the 14
right.
points went by.
That's right, because they are part of it. They are. This is what happens when fascism
I nod my head at Saturday Night Live, too. I think it's really important that we use reliable news sources because fake news is a huge problem.
This is not putting itself out as news.
What's it putting itself out as?
I think New Bohemia Media is actually marketing. It's a graphic.
Well, okay. So I hear from a kid, Rosemary, who, and as a teacher, I'm very interested in what your reaction to this would be, and Libby and Joe, all teachers, said, can you spend some real time with me defining what WAMC is and where it's going and the rest of this stuff? And I said, I'm so sorry. This is a kid in high school. I said, I'm so sorry. I really can't spend that time. I'm real busy. But here are a couple of points. Kid writes back and says, I would use Wikipedia, but the teacher won't allow me to use Wikipedia. Says, insists I'm primary source. So I'm a primary source. Good for the teacher, good for the kid, but not me.
It's sort of like the intelligence services. I'm so annoyed by this idea that we shouldn't pay attention to potential U.S. elections being interfered with by the Russians because it only comes from intelligence sources. And that's sort of like Wikipedia. I think the intelligence sources are like that. It doesn't mean they're not good sources to use as your only evidence. But you don't ignore it just because that's where the information comes from to begin with. You then seek out other sources. So why are we saying, no, let's just forget about it because it's only the CIA, the FBI, NSA, and everybody else that we'll rely on to tell us what's going on in the world?
Sean writes a very interesting...
Did I make that point?
You made it.
You made
okay,
it, yeah. It was
maybe
good.
Right. Sean writes a fiery letter. Oh, the fear and loathing at WAMC. 15 months of divide and copper memes coming from the roundtable desk. You have it wrong on why people distrust the press. Rather than saying it's because they don't like interrogating the president-elect, you should be saying because New York Times said right up to the morning of Super Tuesday that Trump had a 97% chance of losing. I think it was 86 at that point, but
it was.
Why quibble? And that's from Sean. All right. Yeah, go ahead.
I think the polls have been vindicated. They were right. He did win the popular vote. She won the popular vote by quite a bit.
Yes, except that the point was of being elected. No,
yeah,
I think the polls...
And everyone agrees he's...
Yeah, I think the Times really blew it, and they have to suffer with it. I mean, you can make the argument that they had a 1% or 2% difference, but within the margin of... But, you know, you don't go and reassure people because it has consequences.
It gave people a sense of complacency.
Yeah.
I know it did for me. It was like I would go and look at that every morning and think, oh, thank God. But then, you know, by 9:30 on election night, I was in bed, so...
Mike says, a couple of stories. Trump and the incoming EPA head are interested in those EPA officials who attended conferences dealing with climate change. Well, they took that one back, by the way, folks.
What do you mean? They took it back.
They said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not sending.
You don't have to do that.
Right. And a Yahoo headline indicated that a conservative group wants to know who in the State Department supports LGBT rights. Is this a sign of a purge coming?
Under both Clinton and Kerry, there's been a lot of work done on LGBT rights internationally. And Clinton had made some speeches that were unbelievable in terms of, you know, at first she said women's rights are human rights. Then she took that next step to say LGBT rights are human rights. And so they've been doing a lot of work and on trying to get some of these countries that are really bad on LGBT issues to come into the 21st century on acceptance. My compatriots.
And Paul takes issue with me. I agree with you that our democracy is at grave risk. However, we must not underestimate the oligarchy that manages the USA. Trump's election is a huge bonus for these people. The oligarchy will be savvy, and with the power of the federal government in their hands, will subvert the election, probably by manipulating voting results. They won't cancel a 2020 election. That's not the American way. And Chris says, still not getting enough airtime is the infidelity of the national vote counting system. Could you remind people that no honest recounts have taken place and no significant vote audits and that the exit polls are still not explained? I am not saying the voting was hacked. I am saying if it were hacked, how would we know?
Yeah, excellent points. You can find articles in the press about votes, you know, thousands of ballots not being counted in the Rust Belt states mm-hmm. that are so crucial in this election. Very good point.
Leslie said, Rosemary,
yes.
could you explain on what you meant by saying that the bankers on Wall Street are getting ready for more enormous wealth accumulation? Thanks. These roundtable conversations are invaluable.
Yeah, I was in New York talking to some people who work on and around Wall Street, and basically all of them, they're getting ready for huge tax cuts and favors to business that will only help them garner right. more wealth than they have even now.
And you need no other proof than watching what's been happening with the stock market. They're all anticipating the goodies.
There was a piece on before we came on about how the retirement accounts of these corporate execs, you know, are burgeoning over $1 billion
sure.
dollars for a handful of corporate execs while, you know, us, the dumb folks who just work for a living, are struggling with our retirement. So it's and that's just another example.
Well, and you saw it yourself when Trump, remember when he went to dinner and snuck out away from the press, and he goes to his ritzy steakhouse in New York, and the rich people are all saluting him like Caesar as he walks out, and he goes, yeah, we're going to all make a lot of money. You're going to be happy. That's what's coming. He's made no secret of it.
All right, let's hold there. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back and continue. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. All right, we got to a lot of letters, but we didn't get to all of them. So let's finish up before we go to our news break at the top of the hour.
Peter says, if a sufficient proportion of citizens are not willing to see that the emperor has no clothes, in other words, that Trump is a con man, then there is no hope regardless of what media report. And then Alan, the conditions precedent to a coup d'etat do not exist and are not foreseeable in this country. One, these guys, generals, no longer have commands. Two, the strength of civil society and the military's political culture will not support a coup. And that's from George. And I say to you, George, from your lips to God's ear. That's all I got to say. Okay, so now, good morning, panel. In this age of challenges, not Trump, we have to stop normalizing it by saying the age of Trump. To support press freedoms, I've just made online subscriptions of Times Union, Berkshire Eagle, New York Times, Washington Post, and a sustaining membership to WAMC and NPR. And BPR, I'm so sorry. I encourage others to do the same. Keep your voices strong on WAMC. All right, and then the chief harpy, says Maureen, a harpy and other Trump surrogates have labeled the blatant, even brazen conflicts of business and personal interest as transparent. The emolument clause is our best hope to curb his power. Check out Richard Painter and Norm Eisen's article at the Brookings Institution. All right. The press, says Lefty, is a toothless tiger. Larry, I'm sorry, is a toothless tiger. Only Congress and state legislatures can shield us from executive overreach. The people must demand their representatives meet their obligations. When Obama was reelected, Citizen Trump went on a tweet storm, falsely claiming that Obama had lost the popular vote, even though he had won it by well in excess of 4 million votes, suggesting a march on Washington and even using the word revolution, and that's from Wes in Schenectady. And hello, panel.
Hello.
Hi. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay. Enough with the kvetching and moaning about the result. It's done.
Oh, we did I this. Hate Didn't these
I
letters.
I think we read that
okay.
one.
Yeah, take it.
Kvetching?
It's not done. It's just begun.
It's kvetching.
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 Okay.
There's no It's not
That's
two
what
syllables.
I got, Joe.
All right, let's go to some other topics. And the President of the United States gave what, unless news warrants it, probably his final full news conference in the White House on Friday afternoon. It lasted a really long time. Mm-hmm. I think it was the longest press conference of the Obama administration, and he took his time before he set off to Hawaii. He was tried to take as many questions as possible, gave lengthy answers, and talked about a lot of different things. And basically, one of the main stories, of course, to come out of it was about the hacking and criticism of the Obama administration that they had held back in their retaliation against Russia and their meddling in the presidential election. And he said that he was weighing a mix of public and covert actions against the Russians in his last 34 days in office, actions that would increase, quote, the costs for them. He said he was committed to sending the Kremlin a message that we can do stuff to you, but without setting off an escalating cyber conflict. There have been folks out there who suggest somehow if we went out there and made big announcements and thumped our chests about a bunch of stuff that somehow would potentially spook the Russians, he said. I think it doesn't read the thought process in Russia very well.
I'm one of the people who think that Obama didn't do enough, that the U.S. government didn't do enough. And I reject all arguments that you're sitting there thinking of writing into us that, oh, America has interfered in other elections. So why are we upset now? The fact that we interfered with other elections when we were trying to control weaker countries is exactly the reason we ought to be concerned now. It also indicates to me that we probably know some ways to stop it. And we should be concerned about the content of the hacks rather than who did it. No, you should be concerned about both. I'm not saying that I don't care about what happened to the hacks. I was in favor of all that reporting. But the fact that the Russians are hacking and influencing our elections ought to be a bipartisan concern. And Trump ought to be concerned about it. And Obama ought to have done more about it. I'm glad Hillary and Podesta are finally talking about it. I don't know why it took them so long. This is a big deal. That's my speech.
Well, no, I think you're right. I'm a little bit concerned about obviously a president who is considering what the reverse implications might be. I don't know what he knows, and you don't know what he knows. We just know
what he said, Al. I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but just to reinforce what you said, what he said was, "I've seen the intelligence, and from it, I have the impression we should be concerned." That's what Obama said, who knows everything.
No, I don't think anybody disagrees that we should be concerned. I think the question is, if we do something, where is that line between getting a cyber war going and just punishing them a little bit?
Well, we already have a cyber war going.
Exactly. So let's engage in it.
Well, I wish that he hadn't just... I wish, from a PR point of view... He said, "I told them to cut it out. I told Putin to cut it out." That was really, there was more to the sentence, but that's what was the headline in the New York Times. Mm-hmm. And it makes Obama look weak. Oh, cut it out. I mean, I think, I wish he had used stronger language.
Well, you know, Rosemary has been winning my heart on this one because she keeps saying that Putin is winning. Right.
He's gotten everything
he's wanted.
Triumphant.
Yeah. And therefore, a president who's about to leave office, which Putin apparently has no feelings about his own leaving office, looks at him and says, "Cut it out." And whatever else he says or else, he doesn't believe him.
Well, I mean, Obama does have the power, and we've seen him do it before, to say these kind of weak things and then to act strong. And I'm hoping that's what happens. Yeah, like he was saying kind of weakling things and then went in and got Osama bin Laden, too. So I'm hoping that that's what's going on. But I haven't seen the evidence of it so far.
We will break there and we'll come back. We'll talk about other things. Alan has many more letters as well. We'll get to those and finish up in our last call here. We're going to go over to news with Ray Graff. We will be back after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. 5 minutes past 10 o'clock, and we are with our group this morning, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post. We want to always invite you to join in on the conversation, panel@wamc.org. Before we went to the break, we were talking about the president's news conference. And we were also talking about the muted response when it came to Rosemary had expressed her concerns over the muted response of the administration in regards to Russian hacking. So now we talk about the New York Times article about the muted U.S. response to China's seizure of drone that is worrying Asian allies. And only a day before, a small Chinese boat settled up to a U.S. Navy research vessel in waters off the Philippines and seized an underwater drone from American sailors. The commander of U.S. military operations in the region told an audience in Australia that America had a winning military formula. There you go. In the eyes of America's friends in Asia, the brazen maneuver to launch an operation against an American Navy vessel in international waters in the South China Sea, about 50 miles from the Philippines, another close American ally, has raised questions about one of the admiral's crucial words. It was also seen by some as to taunt President-elect Donald Trump, who has challenged the One China policy on Taiwan and has vowed to deal forcefully with Beijing in trade and other issues. Meanwhile, we should note that China said it would return a seized U.S. naval drone. Trump tweeted and told them to keep it.
You know, this is just like in Iran, where there was also around Iranian soldiers were insulting American soldiers, and Trump got all hot and bothered about it. Diplomacy is about efficiency. It's not about revenge or enacting punishment. We get the drone back. That's what we wanted. That's it. Rachel Maddow did a whole thing. It's not unprecedented or unprecedented, however you want to use the word. It is not. These kinds of incidences have happened before, and they are mediated and taken care of. That's it. It's just, let's move on.
Well, the problem is that Trump doesn't see any value in diplomacy, nor does he really understand it.
He's making statements, I think, and he wants to impress on our power, America First. And I think that's why it's dangerous. This has nothing to do with any of that.
I got a little difference of opinion.
Handled correctly.
I'm sorry, Rosemary. I have a little difference of opinion here, and that is that, I think it's very serious when China, which is now trying to put its imprimatur on the South China Sea and all the rest of it with these phony islands and the military defense that they're setting up and stuff, thinks with impunity they can just do whatever they want. I think that is a major error for us to put up with. So it's just not a matter of, you know, we got it back, that's enough. I think the fact that they think they should and can do it is a real concern.
We don't know that. If what you're saying is true, I would have to agree, Alan, but there's no indication that that's what was going on. We don't even know that it's simply, this was not a secret or a military piece of equipment. I think they just messed up. And it's not unprecedented. It has happened at the beginning of other presidential administrations. Rachel Maddow did a whole thing on this. And in each case, it was handled just as this one was. It's like, give it back, start playing by the rules. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be watching China. I don't like what's going on in the South China Sea either. But this isn't the way to do it. It isn't to start a big major event over a drone that we're now getting back, just as it was not worth it to cause a big problem with China by making a phone call to Taiwan. That was unnecessary.
I see.
It's provocative.
I think China is trying to push Trump's buttons. It's just that simple.
Well, we are too.
We're pushing their buttons.
Yeah, right. But I think in response, you know, and this could end up being one of those issues where...
And maybe that's why they gave it back right away, because it actually is still Obama's watch. Let us not forget. Right.
Well, it's very interesting to watch what China is up to, because, you know, they do own all of that paper. You know, all of our commercial paper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They don't own all of it. They just own a lot of it. Their whole business development is based on their relationship, or a good deal of it, with the United States. So they can't really go too far here. It's nuanced, I think, because I think Trump sees that, you know, he can push them a little without pushing them too much. This is not the old Russian time when when the ICBMs were at each other and they really might have gone off. I suspect that that's not going to happen here.
Joe, you're very quiet.
Yeah, what's the matter with you?
Nothing. I was just getting ready for
listening
the next
to the wisdom
topic.
Here. I just yes. want to weigh in.
I just wonder if it's China that holds all of his debt.
What'd you say?
I just wonder if it's China that holds most of Trump's debt and not Russia. And this
is
the way
Deutsche Welle Bank, and it's the Russians. We know, so it's not
it
all
be
of
interesting,
his debt.
You know, if there was a sizable amount, who knows? This is just conjecture, and he's doing his. I'm not paying you. Which is what
it's
he's
worse
done
than conjecture,
other,
though,
you know.
Because you're right. We don't know. And we haven't
know.
Seen his taxes.
That's
There's
right.
been no revelations about this. And government business and personal business
yes.
will be mixed
right.
After January 20th.
Right, which
yeah.
is illegal.
What I was ultimately looking for was what you had referred to earlier, and it was the first tweet, because we mentioned the one about mm-hmm. him telling them to keep it. That was actually the second tweet. The first tweet that came on Saturday morning, Trump said, China steals United States Navy research drone in international waters, rips it out of water, and takes it to China in an unprecedented.
It could go either way, presidential or presidential.
Yes, presidented act, and that was ultimately what I was looking for. But in Beijing on Sunday, the Global Times, a Communist Party-controlled newspaper known for its nationalist tone, poked fun at the mixed messages coming from the United States.
Yep.
And there you go.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, we have a whole stack full of letters.
Oh,
my
boy.
Goodness.
Do we ever?
All right.
All right. Here's Michael wrote two. I have to choose one because we don't read two. But here's one.
Okay.
I agree with Alan. That's the one I chose. I agree with Alan that fascism is a real.
What went into that decision?
Yeah.
I agree with Alan. I'll read that again. That fascism is a real threat. President-elect Trump has mounted a frontal assault on the press, the CIA, and others. He constantly undermines truth with double downed, 180 degrees skewed tweets. One of the groups granted a permit on Inauguration Day is Bikers for Trump. That's Bikers, number four, Trump, whose mission is to protect President-elect Trump from other protesters. This group is reminiscent of the brown shirts. Scary. That's Mike yeah. Monson.
By the way, Libby, you found a better source for
yes.
14
no, no, no,
points
I,
of
that
fascism.
Was me. I said, as soon as Libby read that, I said... to myself, that's Sinclair Lewis that she's.
Well,
saying.
It doesn't count if you
but
say it to
Sinclair
yourself.
Lewis. No, here's the deal. Sinclair Lewis said, "When fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in the flag and carrying the cross." But in the spring of 2003, ex-corporate executive and political science Lawrence Britt published an essay in Free Inquiry magazine entitled "Fascism, Anyone?" And it's in that article that he identified
Sinclair
the 14
Lewis.
So Sinclair Lewis is a better source than New Bohemian
yes.
Media.
But the thing is,
which
is
by
that,
the way, New Bohemian Media is Lawrence Britt.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I would just like to point that out.
Okay. Uh-huh. So okay.
Is what Joe I'm not following.
The guy who has some who has some questionable credentials. But anyway,
everybody does.
Dr. Lawrence
not
Britt
no.
who would be quoted is the is New Bohemian Media.
And the fact of the matter is that whether I wrote these or you wrote these, they're true.
No, that is the argument of the right, which uses very
but
questionable sources, and I reject it.
Okay, but
find it in a real place, and I'll listen to you.
Well, no, but this is the real place. He published an essay in Free Inquiry magazine. Entitled Fascism, Anyone, and he wrote this.
I believe I've made my point.
Okay. Yes, you
well,
have.
But these 14 points have saliency.
Yeah.
They do.
Okay, Rick says, I wince every time the phrase those people is uttered. It seems to play into the elitist claims. Do we say those people around here?
Those people who voted for Trump?
Yes.
I feel elitist. I feel better than them, so yeah.
R. Jeremy says, stop hyperventilating. Yes, there is a threat
blah, blah,
of fascism.
Blah.
Oh, that little something. But the more likely outcome is that Trump crashes and burns. So far, it's just words. Wait until there are actions and consequences and blowback. What has weight and force? Predict 30% approval rating in 2 years. I actually am working on my next week's column, state column, on my predictions. On my predictions, mm-hmm. and I wrote a prediction I take it you're not really interested in it, or are you?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, here.
We all wait with bated breath for your columns.
Okay. After a defense agency leaks news of a Putin-Trump conversation relating to fixing the presidential election, there will be an immediate move in the House of Representatives to impeach Trump. Speaker Ryan, who will certainly run for president at some point, will be under such incredible pressure that he will allow a vote. Trump will be impeached, and the Senate will convene and convict Trump. There will be other charges, including a charge of violating the Emoluments Clause of the United States Constitution. That's my prediction.
Okay. There were some other predictions you had in there, too.
Well, I don't want to read the whole column. Nobody read it.
Okay, fine.
Okay, Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Jeez.
Governor Kennedy.
Check, please.
Who am I to, you know, say you have to read every single
read
thing
some more
you
letters
said.
From people.
Okay, sure.
We'll read your whole column when it's done.
Right.
Or not. Jeremy.
Maybe, maybe not. Where is it published, by the way?
Oh, in a lot of newspapers.
Oh, okay,
it is,
sure.
Nine newspapers, something like that. I agree that working class Trump voters largely voted against their own economic self-interest,
yes.
Says Jeremy. But I am a software engineer, and Hillary Clinton has a track record of supporting efforts to give my job to lower-paid immigrants and offshore workers. I voted for her nonetheless, but in doing so, I was clearly voting against my own economic self-interest.
Wow. All right.
All right. Welcome back, Rosemary.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Rosemary. Okay. Please. That's from Cotter. You know,
okay.
Cotter. Remember Cotter?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go.
I'm please, old, I remember.
Please know that there are many listeners out there who rely on your insight and honest reflection, calling out the emperor's nakedness and others to conciliate. I'm still numb to think of how we landed in this place. And yes, we fit the description of a fascistic governance. Those who escape transparency and evade taxes will be despoiling the Constitution as our representatives avoid confrontation. Why? Two question marks. Many thanks to you all, Anne and Beacon.
Very, very nice. Not someone who is saying, oh, get over it, try to get along, we have to come together. Baloney. We do
we
not.
We have to fight. We have to resist. We have to continue to speak out.
Right.
We have to support the media and those institutions that
uphold
seek the truth
democracy.
And uphold democracy.
Deborah says, have been voting against their interests for a long time, i.e. Bush. It's more about seeing Dems are party of people of color and women. Racism and sexism are at an emotional heart of this, and why Trump was so appealing to those left behind by women of people and of color advance.
Yep.
Deborah.
Well, Rich, do you remember before the election, and Rich was on the show, and he said, Dems are perceived as a party that hates white men. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I have not been on a show with him since. I would love to hear that more, because I do think that played into the voting results that we got.
They're perceived to hate white men because they are courting.
They promote other groups.
And speak to people of color, LGBT people,
right.
You know.
As if
and
so, one,
so it has
one
to be
excludes
a
the
game.
Other. Right.
Right. That's right. The problem.
Much to my dismay, says Pat, Rosemary is back and controlling the show. She doesn't know how to stop. She needn't be present on air as her opinion on all matters is already known. Enough.
Well, that seems
please,
kind of
wait,
mean.
I'm not done.
Well,
please, let her take an extended vacation. The show, in my opinion, was much better and thoughtful and composed in her absence. I loved, this is Alan speaking now, I loved the fact that other people were on, but I love Rosemary, and I think she brings so much to this program that I reject your letter out of hand, sir, and I'll meet you on the Weehawken plane at any moment.
Oh, you
or to summarize, bite me, Pat!
I like
oh
it.
Oh, my God.
E says.
We've gotten really sophomoric. E, bite me?
No, bite me is a good term. The question is not where you, but bite me, but where you bite me. Okay, so E says, instead of being confirmed as POTUS.
Happy holidays.
Right.
Joy and warmth of the season. And while you're at it, bite me.
Yes. Instead of being confirmed as POTUS, Trump should be brought up on charges of treason in capital letters.
Yes.
The man was in lockstep with the Russians' attempt to propagandize the election, even going so far as asking the Russians for help to defeat his political opponent on national television, no less. I'm telling you, folks, if anybody, for example, the CIA or these other people can come up with a conversation in which these two guys, Putin and Trump or that's anybody right. representing them, that's an impeachable offense.
That's right.
Then it becomes impeachable. Okay. Michael says, where's the left's equivalent to Breitbart? We need to fight them on their own weapon of fake news. Well, you know.
The studies show that liberals don't buy into fake news.
That's right.
Conservatives fall for it much more. I find that really interesting. But of course, it appeals to
well, there are guys like Michael Moore,
liberal elitism.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of sources out there.
Yeah, there's
the
Michael
Moore
and the other guys. Yeah.
Well, there are, but I think that, you know, the fake news.
Ralph Nader.
Yeah, what's interesting about the fake news stuff is that it was started by somebody from the left to try and create stories that sites like Breitbart would post, and then he would say, look, you fell for this fake news. But it never got that far because you started making money.
Interesting.
Okay, Marilyn says, my fear is that when he wants to ensure his reelection, Trump will take the traditional American way and get us into a major war, perhaps against the Muslim world, perhaps against some other enemy.
My friends overseas believe the U.S. will be in a war within a year, and they're voting on the Middle East because of the rabid hatred against Iran and now the new super pro-Israel stance of his appointees.
The new guy, he's dangerous.
He's scary. Yeah. Even the Israelis say he's scary. Yeah. He's to the right of Netanyahu. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay. Will says, I've been on Social Security disability since I was 59. I'm now 64. My question, in your opinion, will my Social Security payments be affected by the Trump administration? Thank you. My answer is, who knows, but no, I don't think so. I think the people who are there get continued, and then they go after
people like me.
And then they go after the young people like you.
Right.
And they say, okay, well, you know, you have to invest with Goldman Sachs or somebody else in order to get anything back. That's what I think happens. Panel, in my own, quote, Van Jones-style research, and this is never discussed, I found that Trump tapped into the systematic racism and scapegoating that persists, you think? Oh, I'm sorry, I should do that. Persists. Specifically, how racism is hiding behind patriotism. Even well-meaning white-collar normal people gave into xenophobia under the anonymity of the poll booth. And that's from Alan. Okay.
Yeah, Michael Moore pointed that out last summer, that both misogyny and racism was included in that America First line.
Betty says, as the dreaded day in January creeps closer, let's take a moment to tip our hats to the extraordinary Obama family. They've given us 8 years of clear thinking, grace, humor, and no personal scandals. Memories to treasure.
I personally am looking forward to Melania.
She's not coming.
I know we're going to have Ivanka, the daughter, the first daughter. It'll be interesting.
It will, but Melania is staying in New York. With
you better believe that there's a reason for that.
I think that, I think she's going to divorce him before this is
well,
over.
Well, that or the other way around.
No.
What's happening is she represents a potential chink in their armor.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think? In
I
other
guess
words,
so.
Well, that her immigration
status
and everything
is a little
else may
iffy.
Be,
right.
You know, okay. I always, Joanna says, I always appreciate the discussions on the press, but today it's my case of my need to be informed is wrestling with my need to remain sane. I fear for our future.
I agree.
The panic I feel on November 9th has just kicked into high gear, but I did read a short article, and I can't remember where, that reported military personnel stating that they would not carry out orders that went against the Constitution's orders given by the president-elect once sworn in. But media reporting aside, what can the public do to prevent the turn to fascism? A couple of things in this letter that I find very interesting. One is the panic I felt on November 9th has just kicked into high gear. Well, you know, panic is an easy word, but I think there's real panic out there. Panic. People waking up in the morning.
Fear, panic, anxiety.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and this is not George Bush getting elected president.
No, this
I didn't care about it at all.
No, Bush looks good compared
good,
to this guy.
But this is really something. And I had a woman walk up to me the other day with tears in her eyes, coming down her face and talking about this. And I understand it because I feel some of it myself. Then there's always this business about what the FBI and the military say.
We have 10 seconds.
Okay, which we will not carry out illegal orders, and they always do.
All right, we are out of time. Many thanks to the panel. Just to note, we did get several letters saying that they love Rosemary, and one saying that we're allowing vulgar language by saying "bite me on the air." So that will.
I cleared that first. FCC says it's okay.
So with that, so we'll convene tomorrow. We'll convene tomorrow, and thank you very much.